Hey, it's Craig. Just letting you know there's some harsh language in this podcast. Based on the subject matter, it kind of has to be there. There's also some descriptions of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Just want you to know about these things before you get started listening to this edition of the podcast.
From the heart of the Forest City, this is the Craig Needles Podcast, brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is another brand new episode of the Craig Needles Podcast, which is, of course, brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. And we have been talking election quite a bit, obviously, on this podcast, but we're going to depart from that here on Election Day. We're going to have all sorts of analysis tomorrow. But I first want to talk about something that you may have seen in the news, stories out of Toronto where women have just been treated quite terribly in the radio industry by their male colleagues, be it people who are on the air with them, people who are managing them, whatever it happens to be. And then you hear stories in Ottawa as well, and some other markets. And when this was all coming out, I decided that I was going to message a few of the women that I've worked with in this business in the past and say, hey, look, I know this has been something that has been going on a lot this week, and I know that you've had some tough times before, so I'm just messaging you to say that I'm thinking about you. One of those people was Sarah Kelly, and you likely know Sarah's name. She's done morning shows on multiple radio stations in the city. And this wasn't my intention when I started these messages, but Sarah is sitting here in the studio here with me at Blackburn Media this morning to have a conversation about this. Sarah, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. I know this is it's a tough conversation to have, and I appreciate the fact that you are a father of a daughter as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's without sensationalizing it, it's a valid conversation that needs to be had. And if I'm the person sitting here in the studio, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. And I'm okay with that because I know how you're going to represent yourself, and I know that you're someone who I think the audience can and should trust because they know you. So this is something that is a story, in my opinion, that needs to be told. People need to understand what has gone on here and how it's unacceptable, and if sunlight is the best disinfectant on this stuff.
Yeah, it's systemic, yeah, actually, in the industry. And I haven't been on the air in a long time. Getting these headphones back on and sitting in a studio is a little nostalgic for me. But I think Jennifer Valentine, who was sort of the woman that brought this to the forefront, said there is never a bad time to bring these stories to light. And when I left my job, I considered speaking out then. That was about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I thought that my experience was unique. I thought it was unrelatable. I thought that perhaps it would be seen as sour grapes and that other women didn't experience it, because this is not something that's widely talked about in the industry. And then Jen spoke out, and then a number of other women in the Toronto media spoke out, and then there was a woman in Ottawa, and it just seems to be like proliferating all across. And so I got some stories, Craig.
let's talk about them. And, yep. And what we're going to do on this podcast is we're not going to name people directly for a lot of reasons. You've spoken to legal representation about variety of reasons.
This
is not a good idea.
Absolutely. I've retained a lawyer.
Yeah.
I thought that was the best thing to do. I just want to make sure that everything that I say can't be used against me if anyone wants to take it that step. Everything, I have lots of stories, but the stories that I'm going to share with you today are very specific. They were witnessed by multiple other people. So those people, if they were called in a lawsuit, they could under oath tell the truth. They were documented, whether the shredder has been working overtime.
I would suspect that a few email deletes were happening.
I think there's like command F, Sarah Kelly, find Sarah Kelly, delete. But I mean, obviously I can't substantiate that, but I would imagine that that there's been some things. And so everything that I'm going to say was witnessed, and there are multiple people who could speak on my behalf. And I've been contacted by people this week when it broke on Monday that we were going to be sitting down. I've been messaged by people who said, absolutely, I was there. It is true. And if you need me, I've got your back.
I want to make one thing clear before we get started here. No one that we're going to talk about is currently still in the role that they were when these stories would have occurred.
Yep. Nobody that I'm going to be speaking about lives in London or and or are in the role that they were in when these incidents happened. I think that's important to note because, like anything, there's going to be some guessing as to who these people are. And I don't want the people who weren't involved to suffer guilt by association because that's not who I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's
clear.
We've made that clear. So there's no one who lives in London right now is part of this. Let's get into some stories then.
Okay.
So, look, when I messaged you, I didn't really even know the depth of what we were talking about here and some of the stuff. And you and I worked together I started there in 2007. So mm-hmm. we did like about 3 years in and around that.
Yeah. I started there in 2005 till about 2008.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, a year and a bit.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff that I didn't even know. So just let's talk about some things that happened, some things that would have occurred, be it when you and I were working together or other places or whatever it happens.
Yeah.
Go in the order that you'd like.
It's multiple companies. It's multiple stations, multiple people. Mm-hmm. There's not one that's going to be singled out because, as I said earlier, it was systemic and it happened in other provinces. It happened in London. It happened everywhere. Unfortunately, it seemed like it was a bit of a trend. So I'll go in chronological order. And so we'll talk about my first month at the first station that I worked mm-hmm. in London here. One of the morning hosts got upset with me and threw a music log. And for context, a music log is like a bunch of pieces of paper, probably 30 pieces of paper stapled together. And it has the commercials and all the songs that are coming up that are going to be played. So it's kind of like the Bible for your show that you follow along with.
Imagine a catalog.
Like a catalog.
Being thrown at
Yes,
you.
Exactly. Yes. Good. So that was thrown at me. And the reason that was thrown at me was because I had been trying to get into the conversation and I couldn't get a word in edgewise. And so I just figured this isn't really a productive use of my time. I had an entertainment segment that was coming up that I needed to do some finishing touches on. So I turned my microphone off, which turns a light off. So it caught his attention and I took my headphones off because I needed to focus on my work.
Sure.
And that was extremely upsetting to him that I had done that while he was on the air. And he yelled, I don't remember what he said, but he took it and he whipped it at me. I was obviously upset. I left the studio and I went to my boss at the time and I inquired about filing a complaint because that's unacceptable.
Yeah, what you thought you should do.
Yeah, okay, I'm following the rules. Yeah. The complaint, the conversation and the complaint didn't really go anywhere except for I was told maybe it wasn't a good fit for me to be in the studio and that because my role at the time was mostly news and entertainment based that I could broadcast from a separate booth back in the newsroom, which was at the rear of the radio station. So I would be taken out of the studio, which obviously would mean that I'd be taken out of any opportunities that I could to contribute to the conversation. I retracted it. I didn't move forward with it. And I was kept in the studio for the duration of my time at that station.
Well, the direct implication there is, and whether this was the way it was designed or not, I'm not going to sit here and speculate, but your career is going to get hurt if you proceed with this.
No, that's how I took it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, subjective, but that's certainly how I took it. And when I didn't move forward, I stayed in the studio. So. Right. Logical conclusion. There was another morning host that worked in the same cluster. Sometimes with radio stations, there's multiple stations that are all housed in the same building. He was kind of a known creep. He was just generally vibey that he would like say off-color things. For 2 years that I know of, he sexually harassed me and six other women. If I thought about it hard enough, I would imagine there's probably more, but I'm not naming names, so I only want to speak about the people who I have direct knowledge
of. And those are their stories.
And those are their stories, absolutely.
Yeah. And if they can decide whether they want to do that or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so this guy, it all started when he, this is gross. He physically touched the vagina of one of our promo team members from behind through her shorts. So it's like he kind of like scooped his hand like, but like her bum kind of in that motion, if that makes sense. I can't say if she ever filed a complaint. She was very upset when she talked to me about it.
Naturally.
If she did make a complaint, nothing came of it. And that incident kind of sparked myself and these other women to get together and make a complaint about what had happened to us from a harassment standpoint. So my story is that he always tried to touch me while I was pregnant, and it was so uncomfortable. He would come into the studio in the mornings and it was so uncomfortable and it was so frequent that my co-host Taz would, he gave me permission to use his name.
Okay.
Yes, he did in writing. He asked me to switch spots with him because where I sat was the seat closest to the door.
Right.
And he sat closest to the window at the back of the room. And so he told me to switch seats with him permanently. And then anytime this person would come in and try to walk towards me, he would slide his chair between us and put almost his feet up in the desk to make like a bridge so that he couldn't. And if he did, it would have been very obvious that he was trying to get close to me. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate
that's good of him to do that. Yes.
I appreciate it.
But the fact that he had to,
I know,
like he shouldn't have to do that. Right.
I know. Yeah. I know. This person also told me when I came back from my mat leave, which was really short, I was only gone 3.5-4 months, I think. And so when I got back, one of the first things that he said to me was that my tits looked so great when I was pregnant that he had to stop himself. Stop himself from what? I don't know. But that's the kind of language that we're dealing with. He said that within earshot of my husband, who also worked at the radio station, which is really uncomfortable. Obviously, Jeff was very upset about it.
Just for context, we should tell the audience who may not know, your husband, Jeff, hosts a morning show on one of the other stations in London.
Yes.
So he's a pretty well-known radio personality.
He does, yes. And so he was in a lesser role at that station. Yeah. This person was more senior than him. And so we discussed it and I thought that it wouldn't be necessary for Jeff to step in and make a complaint on my behalf, I guess, because we were going to HR. We were gonna make sure that this was over. Well, that didn't happen. The program director at the time, so our boss, his boss, told this person all of our names individually that had come to him. So he gave him each of our names, and the idea was that he could apologize to us in person.
That's not how that's supposed to go.
No. And one of the women was broadcasting. She was on the air at the time. This happened after his show he was talked to. And he called her in the studio and started to talk about how he was sorry and like bringing up things. And she was in the middle of her job. She had to be on the air for another 3 hours when she's being confronted by someone that was harassing her directly. And I remember being so upset for her. Because she was just trying to do her job.
Mm-hmm.
So after that happened, we still pursued the complaint with HR and the program director. And we were all brought in and we were told that this person would lose their job and their livelihood and that we needed to understand the consequences of pursuing the matter.
The people who had been victimized here, needed to understand the consequences of what was happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Several of the women were swayed by this because no one ever thinks, I mean, as women, we're kind of conditioned to minimize, right? We were, don't want to make a fuss. Something could happen. And there's also the direct implication that something could happen to you from your career standpoint. If you're known as a whistleblower, if you're known as a rat or a tattletale.
Troublemaker,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So the compromise was that we agreed on reluctantly. Was that a letter would be put in his file by HR. And I'm sure it's still there because he's worked for that company several times off and on in the years. But he was never suspended. He was never fired. Nothing. Nothing ever happened. The next story that happened was it was decided by our management that a show that I was on here in London would be mentored by a show in a larger market, one of the top fives. And this show was not on board with doing this. They didn't want to do it. And so they turned it around and they took the audio that we had sent them to listen to and give us
feedback,
constructive criticism. Yeah. They took it and they edited it down and then they played it on their show in their city and they critiqued it on air, which is weird and like awful.
Why is that happening?
Awful.
Like, and how does no one step in and say, wait a minute, why are you doing that?
No. And it was, there was a couple times that it happened. But the main host at one point referred to me by several derogatory names. But the only one that is burned into my head is when he called me fat, which sucks. But I was 3 months postpartum with my daughter, my oldest daughter rather. And so I went home and I weighed myself and I weighed 142 pounds. And I know that because I'll never forget it.
That the image of that scale that day is burned into your head.
It's like body dysmorphia, if you know what that is, which is like when you see yourself differently in a mirror than what you actually look like. And I was like, I thought I was doing pretty good. I mean, I was young. I was 24. I just had a baby. I took care of myself during my pregnancy. I was very proud. I looked like a mom. I looked like a woman. Mm-hmm. And that is the dagger that he chose to stick in my heart. And I think that most men know that weight is a very sensitive subject for women. So that was difficult. And the only reason why I found out about it is because my brother, who lived in that city along with 3 or 4 million other people, called me after the show and said, this is what they're saying and this is what they're doing on the air. And he was so upset for me because I'm his baby sister that he wanted me to know so that I could take it to management. So I did. I went to my general manager this time because I'd had no luck with my direct bosses. So I went to the big guy. Yep. And I said, I thought, surely this person is not in this building. He doesn't work with us. He is in the company, sure, but it's. I thought there would be enough distance.
And for the audience, a general manager is someone who, and it's less so the case now, but at that time in radio, this is someone who has some sway in the company. This is someone who would have some ability to say, hey, wait a minute, we've got to knock this off, or whatever it happens to be, if the situation called for it. We kind of less so have the general managers now, but at the time, that was definitely the case.
That was definitely the hierarchy. He was top of the pyramid. And so I told him this time, I want to file the report. And he told me that this particular host, that one that I called me Fat, he was extremely volatile. That was known, but he emphasized that he was volatile. And he said that he felt that if I had gone to HR and pursued the complaint, that this person would go out of their way to terrorize me and do anything they could to ruin my career. Corporately, he said, pursuing this, because that person is a great revenue creator for our company. It would be career limiting was the words that he used. Career limiting. So I withdrew the complaint again. And that person worked on the station for about another 10 years.
So.
Yeah. Working for a different media company, as I said at the beginning, these are all different stations, all different hosts and program directors and general managers. All of these instances, this is working for another company. We should probably warn people that there is some language.
Yeah. And you didn't hear, but I've already recorded kind of a pre-podcast preamble saying, hey, if you're in the car listening to this with your kids, this may not be the podcast for you to do that with.
Okay. Yeah. Because we're coming up to some language here. So just generally, some of the names that I have been called while at work, while doing my job, I was called a cunt by a coworker in front of my producer, which is double embarrassing because not only to be called that, but then to be called that in front of somebody else. Another said that he couldn't deal with me when I was acting like such a stupid fucking bitch. Also in front of my producer. Yet another coworker called me a fucking bitch in front of my boss. And why did they call me all of these names? Because we were disagreeing about content. Mm-hmm. So a thing to note is that sometimes in radio, you have to say or you have to take a view that is contrary to the other person that you're broadcasting with, because how boring would it be to listen to a show where everyone's like, yeah, totally, I agree with you. There's no conflict.
Right.
So we're coached to sometimes have contrasting opinions. So it's both sides of the coin.
Right.
It creates more interesting content.
Yeah, a little tension is something interesting. And usually that's okay. But sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's not. So when these things were happening and these awful names were screamed at me, it's because I went against them in those instances. They had wanted me to take a position on a topic I wasn't comfortable with. They wanted me to take a view or represent myself in a way that I was uncomfortable with, and I refused to do it. So in those instances, it was that I was doing my job, and I was doing my job in a way that made me comfortable. I didn't want to be the target of saying something and then having a particular group come at me or a particular person and hurt somebody with my views that I don't even hold. So I declined, and that's frustrating. It's frustrating when you go head to head with someone who thinks that they know how you should do your job. And when you don't do your job, then people get angry. And that's very frustrating, very frustrating. So I think we can maybe talk now about the inequality and maybe the reasons why these things mm-hmm. happen and nothing are done.
The lack of accountability is essentially.
Exactly. And I've spoken with a number of people over the last couple of days, and we all kind of have the same idea, which is that these men are in, they have a power imbalance with us, because a lot of times they're the headliner, they're the quarterback, they're the lead of the show. The show is named after the people who are on it. 9 times out of 10, it's that person's name is first.
Right.
They're the most recognizable, and they generate revenue for the station, sometimes millions and tens of millions of dollars in revenue, right, depending on the market. I mean, there's markets, Toronto, Vancouver, where just the morning show numbers are sold and they generate $10, $15 million just for that. Like maybe in the heyday of radio, I should probably say.
Yeah, maybe it's not what it was, but.
Not what it was, but.
We're talking about a lot of money here.
In the heyday, yeah. And so even in smaller markets, it's easier to replace the problem than it is to find another lead, if that makes sense. Because there's a lot, like, depending on your role, if you're in news or you're, I had my job referred to by a consultant as the news and giggle girl, which was awesome.
Lovely.
I was at a convention in front of like 50 other morning shows. So if that's your position, it's highly competitive. If you think about how radio is structured, how many morning shows are there in the city? Well, there's only a couple hosts per morning show. Mm-hmm. So you think there's eight people that are on air at the face of those stations, and how many people graduate from radio broadcasting programs all over Canada every year? So it's highly competitive. And when they get a host that resonates with the audience and listeners really like them and they've got good content, they can be a bad person. They can be a terrible person. But the listeners don't know, and the listeners still listen, which means they get ratings, which means they sell it, which means dollars in the bank account and accountability to their shareholders. We're talking about corporations that are public. If for the most part, there's still a few independents across Canada, but it's pretty mm-hmm. far between. So these are huge multinational corporations, and they have shareholders, and they need to be accountable if they want those shareholders to continue to buy their stocks. So it's a bad position to be in, being the person that is kind of taking it, because you know that you're not worth what the person beside you is worth in the eyes of the company.
And that is a power imbalance thing from this perspective, mm-hmm. is the way these shows are designed is to make, and I'll be honest, is to make the woman on the show who not worth as much.
Yeah.
That's this is not an accident that this happens. This is done by design, in my estimation.
Well, and it's not worth that is like how you feel about yourself. It's actually physically worth.
Right.
So there's a thing that I like to call vagina tax in radio. And it is, I bet you if this whole thing blew up and all these companies were sued, and they subpoenaed the salaries and the contracts of all of the morning shows that are in Canada that have a male and a female host on them, I would estimate that probably 85 to 90% would have a huge imbalance in it. And I know that there's differences in skills and there's differences in experience, but I personally I know that I was paid far, far less. When I started on a new show, I negotiated as a team with my partner, and because we had virtually the same amount of experience, I think he had maybe three years on me at that time. But we'd been working together, and we were going to be working together as a team and equal airtime and equal participation in content. So we negotiated as a team. So we had identical job descriptions, which is important. And we also had identical contracts minus compensation,
right,
which you're never supposed to talk about. It's supposed to be a big secret. But this person and I were very close. And so he shared with me what he was making. And it was $70,000 less than what I had been offered. And when I went to my boss and I asked about it, I was told that there was no room for negotiation, and that I should be happy because with it, because I was the highest paid radio host, female, highest paid female radio host in London, which is like.
Now, when you go to the bank and tell them about your salary, do you say, hey, I'm the highest paid woman who does this in London? They give you a little bit off your mortgage? Is that how it works?
No,
oh, really? Oh, that's weird.
The tax only goes one way.
Oh, I'm surprised to hear that. Okay, sure.
So, yeah, he said I should be grateful, highest paid female host. And then that coworker left. So I was like, okay, I'm going to, at that point, had been there. I was well liked by the audience, and I thought, okay, now I'm gonna step up. I'm gonna become that lead. So they brought in another person to replace him, and he was hired for $50,000 more a year than I was, despite zero, not even 5 minutes morning show experience. I had 12 years at that point, and I'd won 2 national broadcast awards for morning show of the year for Canada. I went to my boss. I wanted him to make it make sense to me, please. And he couldn't justify it and admitted that I couldn't justify it, but said that it was what it takes to attract top talent.
So the implication of the course there is that you are not top talent.
Yes, exactly.
You've got some awards. So that's good.
Yes. Yeah. So this person was fired less than a year later. And when that happened, I was trying again to renegotiate. And following his firing, and I told that it wasn't possible, and that if I couldn't just accept what I was making, that I was free to leave. So I did. I called their bluff, and I gave my 6 months notice. I had a thing in my contract that said I had to give 6 months notice. They had to give me 6 months notice or any kind of combination thereof. Right. And so I knew that I had to find plan B, and I needed a little bit of time to pull that together, because I literally am just setting a grenade to my life, something that I had been doing since I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a backup plan at that time. So I started my real estate license, and that took me about 6 months. They gave me, I worked for 3, and then they sat me for 3 because it was coming into ratings time. They didn't want me to affect that in any way. So it sucks. The whole thing sucks. It sucks because I loved radio. I went to school for it. My husband does it. I miss my listeners. I miss my show. I was good at it. It was something that I took pride in, going to work every day when the ratings would come out a couple times a year and we would see the results. That was so incredible to me that I was able to connect with the city in this way. And I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't. I could have stayed making what I was making. But when you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:45 actually is when I used to get up. Mm-hmm. And you go to work and you put your heart and soul into it, and you laugh and you have fun and you get great calls and interaction. And then you look across the studio and you realize you're never, ever, ever going to be able to be treated the same way as that person. From a salary standpoint, from a worth and value standpoint, from the company, you're seen as replaceable. I just couldn't do it. It was like, it was soul sucking.
Yeah.
It really was. So, yeah, I'm out.
Well, that sucks. There's a few other things I want to ask you about. But first, I do have to say that this podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Lexus of London. Lifestyle with the drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warncliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. I'm sure you've read a few liners in your day. So, yeah.
Just a few. Yeah. Just a few. Got to get them in there. Thanks, yeah. Lexus.
Thanks, Lexus of London. When I tweeted out on Monday that you were going to be coming on this podcast, mm-hmm. and you and I both got a lot of messages about that. A lot of people saying, hey, wait, this is something I'm going to want to listen to, or this is something that, you know, I sort of know goes on in the industry. And it's really great that Sarah's kind of willing to step up and sort of put her name to it and say this has been a problem. What did people say to you about this?
Well, first of all, I just want to step back and say that I didn't want to be the face of this. Yeah. I'm not doing this for publicity. This is going to be the only time I talk about it. If anyone else any other media outlets want me to comment. I'm not interested in that. I'm doing it for my two daughters who may want to follow their parents into the media world. I'm doing it for all the amazing women. And I can think off the top of my head without hesitation of at least 20 women that were in radio that are no longer in radio for very similar reasons that I am. And that sucks because the industry was way better with them in it and they just could not do it either. So there's that aspect, and then the aspect of the women who still are in it. Yeah. There are so, and it's nothing is different. I know I'm talking about things that happened 8 years ago, 10 years ago. It's still happening. Nothing has ever been done and nothing continues to be done about this.
The lack of accountability continues to be a thing.
It continues. And so when I'm hearing from women who are still working in the industry saying, I wish that I could stand behind you. I wish that I could go on record, but I can't because I know what will happen. We know what will happen seems to be the line, which is, of course, you'll be restructured. You'll be constructively dismissed, which is when they just make it so awful for you that you just quit. Because I don't have the same challenges they do in the fact that they're still working or trying to work in media. I'm done. I'm gone. I have my own business. I'm so far from broadcasting, other than the likelihood that someone may sue me over this. I can't be fired. I can't be restructured. They can't hurt me. So if I got to take a bullet for all the people who are standing behind me that I can feel standing behind me, then it's worth it. It's worth it because it's the truth and you can't sue the truth and you can't.
Trust me. People have tried to sue me for telling the truth.
I know.
And they've lost every time.
But that's why everything that I'm talking about today was witnessed and right. Documented. So there's no recourse for them. They can try. I mean, please don't, but they can try. I'm ready if they do. But yeah, as you said, I did get a lot of messages from people of support, of similar stories. And if it's okay, can
please.
I read a couple?
Please.
Obviously, no names.
Right.
One person messaged me and said, I'm not here to rock the boat, but I will come out in defense of anyone who needs it to back up a case. I can vividly remember all of it. It will never be erased. This is from another friend. When my host was arrested for, and I'm redacting that part because it could identify them. When this host was arrested, he called me at 4 a.m. from the jail, letting me know he wasn't going to be able to make the show, obviously. I called our news director and then became the one in the front lines answering all the phone calls regarding his arrest. I would have to scramble to put together a whole new show by the time a new co-host got there. That wasn't my job. And this happened four times.
Okay.
Another friend from radio told her story to me by voice memos. She sent me voice memos. Her story was that a colleague that she worked with was previously fired for sending nudes to underage listeners, was caught and fired.
Well, that's good.
That's one person I've heard.
Fired, yes.
Her general manager at the station she worked at knew this guy personally and felt that he deserved a second chance. And after working with him for a brief period of time, she left. And then this guy started online stalking her for about 4 years until she blocked him on every social media platform, including LinkedIn. He was messaging creative. He was messaging her on LinkedIn to try to get to her. She had to have his number blocked from the phone lines in the studio to the front. She had to
awful.
Take major steps to not allow this guy to contact her, which is pretty horrifying. Another person wrote, I guess the point is that we all need to stand together. I do fear retaliation. I'm worried what would happen. I know that's cowardly to say. I love my job, just not the environment. And the last one breaks my heart. Sarah, I am so chicken. I'm so scared of him. I don't even know why. I went to everyone and no one helped me until I had to quit because my husband couldn't let me cry myself to sleep anymore. Oh, like goosebumps. So
cry myself to sleep. And hey, it's hard enough to go to sleep if you have to wake up early in the morning, but to cry yourself to sleep.
But that's how it's the irrationality of just wanting things to be different and knowing that you're powerless to change them. I remember one time having a thought that I was driving to work and I didn't want to go because there had been one of these incidents and there was fallout. And I remember thinking on the way in, oh, I wish I could just get in an accident with my car. Not a bad one.
Yeah.
But just enough that I could call in and be like, yeah, I got an accident.
Well, I'm not coming in today.
I'm not coming in today. And that shouldn't, like, that is a crazy thought. That is a crazy thought to have about your workplace.
Yeah.
And I just, it makes me angry that it hasn't changed. It makes me angry that when we tweeted out on Monday that I was coming on, that I was still getting current broadcasters messaging me, people who are still in it that have verified to me that it's the same as it ever was.
Yeah.
So it needs to change. I don't know how to affect that change.
It's got to start clearly from A, don't treat the people around you poorly. B, people who are managing other people, mm-hmm, in other industries, if stuff like happens where, you know, a woman's being called the C word on the job, that's something that usually would be addressed.
You
would think in most industries, right? Like, maybe if you work in some non-radio industry where that's something that doesn't get addressed, you can let me know. But you would think in most industries that's something that gets addressed and harshly addressed.
Well, I can tell you that one company that I worked for, we had sexual harassment training, obviously, because there was lots of harassment happening. And I think it was the same guy. Mm-hmm. And he came in.
He was the sexual harassment educator? He was the
educator. Okay, yeah. Okay. He was like contracted by the company and they always use the same person.
Oh, well, he must have got a lot of work then.
I personally sat through that session six times. And not a long span of, like I wasn't there forever. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there for 25 years. Yeah. And so that's not working. So I appreciate that they did sensitivity training, but another, like maybe they've done 8-10 of those now. That's not, doing another 4 isn't going to change things. It's going to, it's help people when they come to you do something. Like your employees are literally begging you to do something when these things happen, and they don't. No. They can't. And they have bosses above them too, and I understand. And a lot of these managers that I'm talking about, I had great experiences with them outside of these spheres. Doesn't minimize the inaction, but I understand that they there's the pyramid we were talking about. Mm-hmm. They have to be accountable, and all of a sudden if all of these people are coming in and complaining and people are losing their jobs over it and, you know, being suspended and all these investigations, I think that perhaps they could think that, I don't know, reflects poorly on their management. If everything is just calm and it's swept under the rug, then they keep their head down too. I'm not sure, but I'm really sad that so many stories are coming out, and this is embarrassing. Like being in this room and telling you these stories, I am embarrassed that these things happen to me.
I don't think you should feel that way, though.
But it's gross.
I know that's how you feel. Yeah. I'm not saying that you, like, I'm not telling you how to feel. I'm just saying from my perspective, these are things that were foisted upon you.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything to deserve these instances.
But just public, like having to publicly say those things, it's embarrassing.
I like to think that the audience that is listening to us right now would feel the same way that I just said.
Yeah, it's gross. It makes me feel gross recounting these things. And, you know, when I was writing my notes for the show, like reliving those things kind of as I was writing them down, I was like, oh, yeah, remember that? I'm talking in my brain. And I was like, that was awful. It was awful. I can't, it's almost too awful to believe, but it happened and there were people there and they saw it and nothing happened. So I hope that this can affect some sort of change for the women that are still doing it. And for the women who want to get into broadcasting, I wouldn't want my daughter to work in the environment as it stands. Mm-hmm. So hopefully things can change for the better.
Yeah, I hope so too. I just, you know, treat, and maybe the takeaway here is treat the people around you better.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, if we don't have to worry about managers dropping the ball and stuff like this, if stuff like this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, go out at the ground floor and just say, hey, you know, treat the people around you better. Now, managers, they've got to be accountable for the money thing.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the co-host. That's on management.
That's purely management. But I said when these names were screamed at me, would you say that to your wife? Would you have called your wife that? And it was a heat of the moment thing. And I was like, you wouldn't, like, and I'm your coworker. I'm not, you wouldn't say it to your wife. I'm not your wife. I'm your coworker. And we're at work. We're literally working right now. And it's not okay.
Well, we'll leave it there, Sarah, unless there's anything else that you want to add or make sure the folks know about.
Just thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out when you did. It kind of, it really prompted some self-reflection. I think it's an important conversation to have and keep having. And I hope that in hearing this, some of these people change the way that they act or change the way that they approach the workplace. And I hope that for all my girls who are still working in radio, I hope things get better for you.
And I will say this, and this applies to if someone's working in radio or any other industry. The people over at London Abuse Women's Center, they work with folks that are in this situation.
They're an incredible organization.
Yeah, and Jennifer Dunn is someone I know well and someone that I know you know well as well. She messaged me when she found out that we were going to do this podcast and just said, hey, just remind people that if they need help with this sort of thing, that we're around. So they're, you know, they are around and you can find London Abuse Women's Center and you can find them at their offices are on York Street and they're at 519-432-2204 if you need help and you've had experiences like this. They're
in any industry, not just media.
Yeah, could be anywhere. Thank you very much, Sarah. That was brave. That was it was really cool that you're able to do that, and I'm in awe of you being able to come in here and sort of tell those stories and do this to try to make this industry better.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's all that we've got for the Craig Needles podcast today. Like I said, we're doing election analysis tomorrow. So hopefully you can tune in for our roundtable that we're going to be doing tomorrow on this very podcast. I'll tell you once again that the Craig Needles podcast is brought to you by Lexus of London, a lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Choose yours today at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warrencliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. You, of course, can find the Craig Needles podcast at classicrock981.com, London News Today, .ca, and on your favorite podcast app.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.